Welcome, everyone, to the All Our Coach podcast. My name is Tim Michalashvili, and I'm your host, also CEO of Amedev Pharma, a performance analytics and organizational change agency for life sciences and healthcare organizations. Performance at its peak, its highest intensity, is difficult to distinguish by the human eye, where we have to use technology or photo finish to determine the winner, in which hundreds of a second makes the difference between a gold and a silver medal. One of the topics that I've been discussing quite frequently with my guests recently at All Our Coach is how to apply our human intelligence and guide artificial intelligence and technology in order to make the best decisions to enhance performance. So today I'm very excited about speaking to Tanya Colonna, a bright, sharp leader who's emerged recently, who has a degree in biomedical engineering from Rose Tolman Institute of Technology, who happens to be an entrepreneur, an athlete, a varsity athlete in track and field, I might add, which is one of my favorite sports, by the way. She has taught medical device commercialization, is an expert in that field as well. In fact, has award-winning courses for which she's been recognized. And today, she's going to talk to us about applying science to accelerate recovery, reinvent training, and create champions as well in sports and elite sports and science in business as well. Tanya, I know you're joining us from Italy. Thank you very much for making the time to be with me here at All Our Coach. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking you about your personal journey, your background, and what led you to discovering Oral Muscles, your company?
Yeah, I've always been really interested in entrepreneurship. So my dad actually immigrated from Italy. And when I was little, if anybody asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I always said, I want to start a company. I never knew what kind of company I wanted to start. But I did know that that was something that I was really interested in. I saw how my dad came from nothing to what he has now, being able to fund me through university. And I'm very appreciative of that. And I really want to be able to create something special. I've been an athlete all my life. I did gymnastics, track, dance, acro yoga, ran an ultra marathon. So I understand what the pain points are of being an athlete. And also studied biomedical engineering. So I'm really fortunate to have the opportunity to combine all of this with Oral Muscles. After university, so after getting the biomedical engineering degree, I studied my master's in engineering management. I went to work for Fresenius Medical Care for a bit, but soon after I got a call from my now co-founder and CTO, Hobie Tam. And he was like, well, I'm sitting here with this sports scientist of Clemson University football, another firmware engineer, and we're watching a basketball game. Someone came down from a rebound and just broke their leg open. Nothing else seemed to happen. Like nothing else out of the ordinary. Leg split open and on national TV, the bone protruded out like 6 inches. And as biomedical engineers, they weren't really grossed out or anything. They just said, well, that shouldn't happen. So that kind of pushed everything forward. And we started to look into why can't we monitor this? Why does this happen? Do things happen like this out of nowhere? Are injuries actually preventable? And we came across this idea of looking at internal loads of what's happening inside the body and external load, what you can actually see, speed, force, acceleration. And what we noticed is that even though the muscles are the source of performance in the body's first line of defense against physical injury, nothing could actually speak to the muscles and understand what's actually happening as movement was produced. So that's pretty much how everything came about.
Yeah, well, you know, I've spoken to an Olympic athlete before here at All Out Coach who made the important point that in business, we don't take the time to recover as well as we learn about it in sports, right? So there's a huge difference between business recovery and sports recovery. Before we get into the technology and your product and your organization, what are some advice or some help, self-help advice that you would share with those who are in rehab right now, whether they're sports athletes or they're not? Given their current options, what can they consider improving or focusing on more?
When I hear this question, something comes to mind. Like, I've spoken to hundreds of top-tier coaches, rehabilitation specialists, mm-hmm. but one line really comes to mind, and one sports scientist who works with sprinters in particular, mm-hmm. he said that he knows all of the statistics on rehabilitation. He knows everything. He can quote how many hamstring injuries happen in what sports and all of that. But when somebody new comes to him, he doesn't actually know anything about them. So what I would say is try to find somebody who actually personalizes what you're doing, who can really tell you more about yourself than just the general statistics that brings you through this general guideline, because not everybody functions in the same way. We have different biomechanics, different muscles, different structures. And what he said is really true and really resonated with me. You really need some type of personalized approach to get the best out of what your rehab is supposed to be doing for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking back at your own career as an athlete first, I imagine you probably had many different coaches. Were there any particular approaches that you found were most effective in your performance as an athlete in gymnastics and track?
That's really hard to say, because to be honest, when I was going through the motions, I never really questioned it. Like, I started gymnastics when I was 3. So all I knew was go to the gym, do what you have to do, and you'll improve. Of course, I was sore. Of course, there were days when I probably pushed it too hard, when I couldn't move for like a week. But I just thought it was part of training. Now looking back, I'm thinking, okay, maybe there was something different that we could have done. But to be honest, I was really blessed with amazing coaches who were able to speak to you, to be able to understand what's happening. They didn't use a lot of data at the time, at least not at the gym that I went to. But one of the more important things, I think, is that personal communication between the athlete and coach. So that is irreplaceable, and that's something that we try to just enhance with our technology going in, because we know that data is never going to be everything. So I would say I can't really tell you what magic they use to make their training programs work, but I do know that I was really fortunate to have them along the way.
Well, you've undergone a transformation from an athlete into an entrepreneur. So I want to ask you to talk about why you believe that targeting training and rehabilitation with technology merits more attention from our, you know, society, from investors, from, you know, healthcare leaders.
Yeah, it definitely merits more attention, and it is getting more attention. But I do think that technology is outpacing like regulatory, as it always does, and government, as it always does. There's a transition right now into more value-based healthcare, which I think is really going to help also with the personalization that I mentioned before. So I think that's a really great trend. But the ability to actually measure more on the body, not only more, but in an understandable and cohesive way, because I know right now a lot of coaches, a lot of clinicians are getting thrown a lot of data that they really need to understand how to compile it, and it can't be easy for them to put it together. But I do think that we need this type of information, because if you're not getting the data straight from the body, straight from the person that you're trying to help, that's like trying to make the best service company without any customer feedback. You don't actually know if what you're doing is working and functioning. You have to be able to measure it, and you have to be able to monitor it.
Can you share some of the principles you use after all the training that you've gone through, both physical and as well as theoretical, and even teaching as an instructor as well? What are some of the principles that you use at Aura Muscles, and what are some of the outcomes as well?
In engineering, we always learned a systems approach. So you would start with like the full equation, and even if everything was zeroed out, you started with that so you understood the entire context of what you were doing. And that's really the approach we try to take also with teaching. So when we were teaching our students, we tried to tell them not only what to do, but how did that fit into the context of the entire organization that they would one day be a part of, so that they knew why things mattered. I think you always need to know the why, or it's really hard to actually keep the discipline and keep going and all of that. So that's one of the things that we always try to consider. What's the why? What's the context? And then specifically when we're looking at the technology that we're using, we're dealing with a lot of novelty here because we're using a sensor called EMG, where you're able to look, where you're able to actually monitor muscle activity. This has always been confined to a laboratory setting for many different reasons. Yep. There's general cost of what the sensor is, as well as you need an expert to really understand how to look at the data. So actually what they have people doing now is that they have the data, they have somebody on video that they're analyzing, and they watch the video in slow motion and they pick out different points in the data. So this takes so long. It can take weeks to analyze the data. And then after that, you still don't have anything actionable. So that's part of what's wrong, not wrong with it, but that's part of what's really inhibited to using this. The other aspect is that people didn't fully understand how the muscles worked because of this. What we're able to do with our technology is we're able to actually, instead of having to pick through all of these data points, our AI can do that automatically. And it's been clinically validated with the number 2 rehabilitation facility globally. So we can pick apart different sets, different reps, and we can actually show you how that muscle is responding in terms of intensity, so how hard it's working, and work capacity, so how much it's working from the physiological level. And with that, we've been able to actually characterize how muscles react to load. And we've done many different studies on this with people who are like Mike Teixeira, who is actually a world-class powerlifter who brought quantitative data to powerlifting. Also, my CTO has been doing a lot of testing on himself. And then we also did a study with 23 different types of powerlifters where we had experts and beginners, and we saw with this data the same muscle response in every single muscle, every single movement, and every single athlete. So from that fundamental research, we're able to utilize now this type of data to understand how can we optimize performance in training.
Okay, so you mentioned one case study there, and one of the big drivers of us speaking here today was some of the impressive data that you had shared with me when, after our mutual friend Chris Piedmont had introduced us. In fact, you had published data as well that you had cited. So can you share just some more case studies for our audience that illustrates that unmet need, you know, in rehabilitation, and what you can do with data to predict performance better and to, accelerate recovery?
So 3 of the main pieces of data that we can tell you straight from the muscle are intensity, work capacity, and sport specificity.
Okay.
So because you're very focused on healthcare, I'll switch to a case study that focuses on rehabilitation. So we're working with Dr. Carlos Ohanian at Racing Club Montevideo down in Uruguay, and he has been utilizing this sensor with some of his athletes. One of his athletes in particular was recovering from a knee injury, and it's not his first knee injury. Mm-hmm. So he had him utilizing... he had him trying to recover from this training. And mm-hmm. during what he was normally doing in the progression, which included a set of leg lifts, mm-hmm. we also had him monitor this athlete with the sensor. So we put the sensor on his vastus lateralis, and he did his routine as normal. So he went from 25 kilo to 35 kilo to 45 kilo. When the athlete hit 45 kilo, he told Carlos, "I feel like my knee is about to pop." And Carlos was like, "Okay, that's not good. Let's stop and let's look at the data. Let's see what it says." And interestingly enough, when he went from 35 kilo to 45 kilo, that intensity, so showing how hard you're working, that intensity jump, so how much harder was his athlete working from when going from 35 kilo to 45 kilo, that intensity difference was analogous to what we've seen in world-class powerlifters going from 110 kilo to 220 kilo. So when Carlos saw that data, he said, all right, definitely should not be doing 45 kilo. And that allowed us to go back. And when I told you we were able to characterize the muscle, there's a certain inflection point that we can use to help determine what weight should you actually be using. So what weight should you be using? How many reps, how many sets? And we can help rehabilitation specialists actually cater to the personal needs of the clinic or of the patient or of the athlete or for the coaches as well.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you for that example. I mean, that's quite impressive, you know, to understand how just little, you know, seemingly little difference in intensity can have such a response in the muscles, right? Most of our audience are probably not muscle physiology experts. So I want to ask you a follow-up question regarding the variability. What is that range of variability? Because earlier you had mentioned that you were able to characterize the muscle response, which was pretty much standard. However, what is that variability to training, to various different types of training? What is the source or the origin of that variability among most patients that you see? Variability in the response to personalizing rehabilitation. Yeah, what makes it jump up? Yeah.
So what we're actually monitoring is functional rehabilitation and like movement efficiency, I guess, is how we would characterize it. So what do I mean by movement efficiency? I mean, how much work input do you need for a certain work output, right? Mm-hmm. And in a developing muscle, so, all right, you would inherently think that an elite powerlifter would be much more efficient at lifting the movement than a beginner.
Right.
We can now quantify that because we can look at the neuromuscular level, how much effort is that muscle utilizing to move this force? And it's the same thing within rehabilitation. So how much effort did it take Carlos's athlete to move that weight? And because his muscle was not trained, because he wasn't fully recovered from the injury, it took a lot more effort to move that 45 kilo.
Okay.
And so when we look back at the muscle characterization, there's two specific graphs that come to mind.
So if you look at this example right here, this is of Mike Teixeira on a flywheel going until failure. So the failure point is at the red mark that you see. And so what we did here was characterize how muscles react under load. And there are two specific metrics that we're looking at. One is intensity, which is how hard the muscle is working. You can see this in the yellow graph. And what happens under continuous load is that there's a ramp up phase, kind of where the muscle is warming up, and then it goes to steady state and it stays relatively at steady state until failure. The second is work capacity. Work capacity is how much effort does it take to produce that movement? Kind of like how much gas does a car require to go a certain distance? That you can see represented in green. And so with work capacity, it exponentially increases with every rep that Mike performed. And we didn't only do this with Mike. We saw this also in a study with 23 different lifters, all of different backgrounds, in different backgrounds, as well as different lifting experience. And each muscle during any different movement under load reacted in this way. So with this type of knowledge of how the muscle responds,
you can see, all right, at what intensity should I actually be training my athlete? And the interesting thing about the study, we'll be releasing that study shortly, actually. Mm-hmm. When you saw the intensity going up, we also correlated it with what's called RPE, so rate of perceived exertion. How hard does the athlete feel like they're, oh, like they're working?
I see.
Okay. And we've been able to show that it actually correlates with a specific RPE as well. So you're getting this quantitative measure on a feeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see. Great. Well, first of all, based on my questions, you probably can guess that I haven't worked out in a while, and I don't. And so, thanks for defining those principles. So, the type of response, to summarize it, just for simply for myself, is that the type of response is usually pretty much similar, but it's really the effort, the personalization comes in being able to predict how much effort is needed to attain a particular that response, right? And which may vary based on rehabilitation, based on recovery, based on prior any other problems that a patient may have, right? Is that kind of?
Yeah, exactly. So basically what the trainers and the clinicians want to do is elicit what's called a training stimulus. They want to exert a stress on the athlete's body that makes them adapt in a certain way. And we're just kind of giving them these dials of intensity, work capacity, and specificity to fine tune that training stimulus so that we can actually show them how are your interventions affecting the athlete before you just see fatigue or injury. So you get a feedback loop between the muscles and the coaches that they can use to understand what am I actually exerting onto this athlete when I give them this training program.
So you've tested many powerlifters, some speed skaters, I know as well. Any other sports or audiences that may benefit from this technology?
Yeah, the beauty about this technology is that it's very scalable. So we can work with elite athletes. We're actually working on a sport enthusiast model so that the general population can also use it. And then the ultimate goal is medical, so to get it reimbursed and to actually allow each clinic to utilize this technology. We can use this device on any surface level muscle. So it's comprised of three components. One is hardware, one is a phone app, and the third is actually a web portal where you can dig more into detailed information. But on the phone, you can get in the gym feedback about what this is doing, so you can adjust your training there. The good thing is that that piece of hardware can go on any surface level muscle, and we can understand any type of movement. Right now we're training our algorithm to recognize certain movements. So first we're starting with the elite, because with these elite sports, we can clearly define which movements are what for the data. So we can pretty much put this expert into our AI, and we can have our AI understand what's happening in the data. And because each muscle in each person in each movement, that the way the muscle responds is always consistent, you can use this in so many different applications.
In terms of that technology and being able to manage the technology, what level of human management does it take in order to make those results meaningful and, you know, translate into championship performance, for example? You know, because you have the data, it seems like everything is pretty much seamless, right? But is there some kind of human element to what, interpreting that data?
Yeah, absolutely. Our goal is never to replace the clinician or the coach. We're just giving them another tool, because this is just one piece of the performance puzzle that we're trying to unlock for them. With the data that we give them, they can utilize that to train with whichever coaching philosophy that they have. So we talked before about how the muscle responds. And we were saying that with different use cases, you would want a different type of training stimulus on it. They can use that graph and they can use historical data about what has helped the athlete in the past to then kind of have a blueprint for that athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And so the human touch comes in when the coach determines how to move those dials that we actually were talking about before. How much mm-hmm. do I want to ramp up the intensity? How much do mm-hmm. I want to ramp up the work capacity? So basically how much weight, how many sets, and how many reps. And going back to a previous question, we do have many different case studies. So with speed skating, with powerlifting, with elite soccer, with volleyball, with basketball, and each coach uses the data differently. But what it does is actually give them that granularity that they need.
Great. Yeah. Your product ultimately has impact on business productivity as well for various types of sports enthusiasts, like you mentioned, for example, and their wellness as well. What are some lessons in terms of how your technology can improve productivity as well in business?
So with each different phase of what we're looking at in terms of the market, there's different improvements in productivity of business. So if you look at elite sports, right now, Manchester United loses 90 million pounds in half, or Premier League loses 90 million pounds in half a season to injured player salary. So by reducing that cost, even just by a fraction, we're helping a lot with their business productivity. We're helping the fans see their favorite players on the field. We're helping them win.
Yep.
With the sport enthusiasts, what we're looking at there has a lot to do with how are they personally managing their data. A lot of the people that we speak to, they have chronic pain. They have injuries that keep re-injuring. I've had multiple people come to me, and also my CTO has had this as well, saying, I don't feel like I'm activating my glutes in training. And then we test them, we're like, yeah, they're activating, but maybe they're not activating in the way that you need them to elicit the response that you're looking for. And so what we want to do is trying to empower the people with data. There's so much you can do with muscle activity data. So it's a shame that it's limited to the lab. We're trying to democratize that. And we're trying to put the data in the hands of the people so that they can utilize that. They can even use it as a communication tool. So that actually happened with one of the people who was running the accelerator program in the north of the Netherlands that we did. Shout out to Anique. And Anique mm-hmm. actually used it to show her physician, my vastus medialis is not activating. I'm doing the training that you're telling me to, but my vastus medialis is not activating. And it wasn't until she showed her clinician that data that he was able to see it. And this is something that we have seen happen in elite sports, where the coach mm-hmm. can now fully communicate with the athlete. And now we're giving this to the sport enthusiasts so they can communicate with their fitness trainers. They can even just see it for themselves and make the decisions and play around with it. Or they can bring it also to their clinicians and say, hey, this is what I feel. This is what the data says. How about we work together on trying to figure out with your expertise what we should actually be doing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly played many different sports, but I consider myself a sports enthusiast. So I'm certainly looking forward to, you know, the launch of your product personally. I'm raising my daughter to do track, soccer, my son as well. Tanya, just one quick question before we're going to wrap up is you're a very scientific approach and you've been able to validate this data. Is there any step that you can share with us that you took that helped you validate that data, or anything that maybe other aspiring leaders or entrepreneurs can learn from you as well?
That was actually probably the hardest part of the process. The science is there. We can do the science, but we need the people to actually help us. And that took us on a really long journey of 5 years of fundamental research that we're really excited to finally start. Well, we started productizing it last year, and we're going to launch at the end of this year. So we're really excited to put all of that technology into one. But what I would say is what you need to do is to find people who are willing to test your product. That is the biggest part of what I can say. We took a year in the US trying to find people who would actually work with us on this product. I drove 20 hours a month around the East Coast of the US. We found people who were really interested in what we were doing. Sometimes they said, okay, this is really cool. Come back to us when you're ready for clinical trials. And in our minds, we said, that's at least a million in development before we're at the point where we can do that. And to develop something without knowing if it's going to work and put all that time and money into it, it just didn't make sense. So that actually made us move to the Netherlands. I went all the way across the Atlantic to find people who are willing to test with us. And we found the first major pilot site that we had was NC Vet Groningen. They're in the north of the Netherlands. The co-founder is also the sports scientist of division of the first league teams, FC Emmen and FC Groningen. And he also has a rehabilitation background. So we finally found that place to test and to understand it. And from there, once we had that fundamental data, and his name is Peter Panka, he said, this is the missing link in the performance puzzle. Once we had that and we had the data to show, we were able to go to Olympic teams, elite sports, showcase everything. And so that's what I would say. I would say find the people who are going to be the champions and work with them to develop the technology.
Okay. Well, at All Out Coach, our motto is stretch yourself, lift others. And I think you shared a great example of there. What is your next milestone and how you're stretching yourself and lifting others now? What can we expect from you and your organization?
Well, every day is a stretch. We're creating a new company. So in the next week, we should have a US company. So we're really going to hone in on both the European market and in the US market. We're in a funding round right now. So we have some lead investors, but we are looking for people to close out the seed round. We're also launching the product. So in the next couple months, we're going to be doing some pre-launch activities where we're showcasing a lot of different case studies, some that I mentioned, some that I haven't, as well as releasing what the product's going to look like. So all of that has kind of been hidden under wraps, and we're going to be releasing all of this and then launching at the end of the year. So all of that is going to be quite a stretch, but we're really excited, like I said, to put all of this into one piece of technology.
And how can people reach out to you, Tanya?
There's many different ways. You can reach out on our Instagram, so at oro.muscles. We also have a contact form that you can fill out at www.oromuscles.com. You could also reach out to me personally at tanya@oromuscles.com.
Thank you very much, Tanya. You, I think, have taught us a lot about lessons from sports science and how we can make our businesses perform. Thank you very much. Tanya Colonna, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.